charge that on himself he lay. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then.
Let's turn this afternoon to Psalm 118. Very familiar portion of Scripture, but we are going to delve into it just a little bit. Psalm 118, and we will begin with verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's what I want to speak on this afternoon. This is the day. And the day of which he speaks here is not just a general run-of-the-mill day, which one might awake to for general purposes, so to speak. He's talking about rather a very specific day, and it is based on a very specific purpose. And as we find here, it is the day when the Lord becomes the head of the corner. We know that he is especially speaking of Israel and Christ becoming the headstone of Israel, that is their Messiah, their controller, their absolute leader, their absolute sovereign. Israel has not taken that place yet, but there will come a day when they will. And they will bow to him in all of his fullness and all of his authority and all of his grandeur. But I want to bring it down to our day because these things must be applied in our lives in a very personal sense of the word. In other words, there must come a day in my life when Jesus becomes the head of the corner. And so I want to pursue this just a little bit because it means when he becomes the headstone of the corner of my life, it means that he becomes absolute ruler and controller of my every experience. We very well know that, especially in younger life, we have our own agenda, we have our own purposes, we have our own dreams, we have our own ambitions, some of them intricate, we might say, and far-reaching, and sometimes might consider them even impossible to reach. But men pursue them, give everything that they have in order to do it, but there must come that day when Christ has to become the headstone of the corner in my life. And so for just a little bit this afternoon, I want to consider some of these verses, especially because David came to that place where the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And that indeed, as I say, will become reality. But I want to look at these previous verses to arrive at how this verse came about. And so if you'll back up here in Psalm 118, back up to verse 18. I want to notice what happened, what is said, before this verse actually comes to pass and is announced. And so if you back up Psalm 118 and verse 16, these are things that we have to apply them. This is what I want to emphasize this afternoon. We have to apply them in our own lives in order for Christ to become the head of the corner. It just doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen with just a snap of a finger, so to speak, because we are really not, we really don't relinquish that spot. We really don't just submit all at once. And so notice some things that happened here in order to bring that about. And so in verse 16, we read this. The right hand of the Lord. When you think of the right hand of the Lord, we must think of Christ himself, because he is the one who is sitting at the right hand of God. And so the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. This is something that you and I have to learn by experience in our own lives. Now, the only way that we can do that is to at least partially relinquish that leadership to him and be willing to let him become that right hand to be exalted. And so Christ must be exalted in that matter. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. And then when that happens, he does do valiantly. There are marvelous, courageous, wondrous things that he is able to do when he is exalted to such a place in my own life. And so this is something that apparently David knew by experience. You notice that he says here at this point, and the right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I think that's something that he knew by actual experience, that the Lord had done valiant things for him in his behalf. And if you go back through David's life, he was just plagued with enemies from one end of his life to the other, so to speak. But he knew this by experience, that this right hand, or Christ, is exalted. And indeed, he did do valiantly. Going down now to verse 17. I shall not die, but live. And this, again, is another something else that David was convinced of this, that we see the positive assurance that he had in this life. And so I shall not die. He knew that because God was the one who sustained him. He'd given him that life. And so he was assured of it. So he had that assurance of life at this point. I shall not die, but live. And then you will notice, declare the works of the Lord. He knew exactly what he should do. God didn't put us here just to live and to live to ourselves and to just every day come what may and everything all about us. The idea behind all of this is to understand that it is God who is responsible for the fact that I shall not die but live. Therefore, it is up to us to declare the works of the Lord. He is the one who still must be to the front in our experience. That's where we get on the way to really him really becoming the headstone of the corner. We learn these lessons little by little by little until we finally surrender that place unto him, as we'll see here in just a moment. Another one is in verse 18. This one is very important for us. The Lord hath chastened me sore. The things that happen to us, we have to realize they're not just happenstance. They may come through other people. They may come through the hatred or the revenge of other people. They may come through people who absolutely do want to hurt us. But it is important for us to understand, from his point of view, it's the Lord who is chastening me sore. He may use the, and he does use these people in order to accomplish and do that, but it's the Lord that chastens me. And he says, chastens me sore. This is not just a pat on the wrist, so to speak, or something of this nature. These are real difficult trials he is talking about, chastening, correcting the Lord. And that's another thing that we really need to understand. Chastening of the Lord is not simply punishment, as people think. Chastening of the Lord is simply instruction or correction. And we soon learn in our lives that there is a time we really do need to be corrected. If God doesn't correct us, then we're going off onto a tangent that is really going to become very, very destructive for us and indeed for others, and certainly will not bring glory to God. So it's the Lord that chastens me. We have to recognize his authority in that matter. But you will notice, he has not given me over unto death. Yes, he's chastening me sore. The trial, the difficulty, whether it be through people or circumstance or whatever, it has been hard, says David. But he's not giving me over to death. He didn't intend for it to kill me, didn't intend to destroy me with it, and so he has not given me over unto death. Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. We have said again and again that God is not always on the negative of chastening and taking things away and things of this nature. He wants to open something even more positive and wonderful. And so David says here, open to me the gates of righteousness. Now, there are all sorts of gates in this world, and some of them are really anywhere but righteous. But the gates of righteousness would be those gates wherein Christ himself is in charge, for he is our way of righteousness. So open to me the gates of righteousness. It is also important to understand here that the gate is only the beginning. You open the gate, and that's just the beginning of all of this righteousness that is ours and will come to us as we pursue God's path on down in our lives. So open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. And if you do that, if we do that, if I do that, there indeed is, and I notice he says, I will go unto into them. If we actually do that, then the result is, cannot be anything else. I will give praise unto the Lord. Recognizing this gate is his, the righteousness is his, all of these things that happen are his. And so I will praise the Lord. Verse 20, the gate of the Lord into which the righteous entered. Again, this is, speaks of the practicality of this, where it's one thing to see the gate. It's one thing to come up to the gate. It's one thing to realize the gate is open. But just stand there. Just look around. Just gaze at it. No, there's a time we must enter the gate of the Lord into which the righteous enter. And so this is what I want to understand here. Also, let's go down to verse 21 is another one. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me. This again is something that David knew by experience. I'll praise you because you've heard me. I know that God has heard me. We have seen this, heard this, and many have spoken on it and concerning it, that yes, the Lord hears me, but that doesn't always mean that he gives us exactly what we want. And so it is up to him how he answers. He hears, but how he answers us is up to him. And that's again something that we must learn in order to come to this place where we fully surrender our hearts and our lives, where he becomes the headstone of the corner. So I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me. And this is another one, art become my salvation. How God delivers us is his business. We have our own idea of how that should be, but that's not always God's way, as we have seen. But remember this, God always delivers. And so it will be for our benefit and for his glory. And so David says here in verse 21, yes, I will praise thee, for you have heard me. And not only did you hear me, but you are become my salvation, or indeed my deliverance. Now, I want to notice that all of these things that we have considered, all of that comes before verses 22 to 24. So with these thoughts in mind of what has led us to this place, what has brought us up to the very brink of surrendering our lives completely unto the Lord, where he does become the headstone of the corner, all of this must happen in order for us to fully surrender to that headship. So let's consider now for, once again Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused. We have to acknowledge that we were those builders at one time. We were the ones that refused him becoming the headstone of the corner of my life. You know, I was born in 1941, but that doesn't mean in the month of July, July 10, 1941, that doesn't mean on the 11th and the 12th I fully surrendered my life to the Lord. We know better than that. We come to that place where we have to grow. We have to realize that there does come that day when we make our own decisions and we simply resent decisions that other people would make. I've still told the story before of how that this young man said he got tired of his parents telling me what to do. And so he was asked a question. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to join the service. Oh, well, what part of the service are you going to join? I'm going to become a Marine. Isn't that crazy? That resent the fact that your parents give you orders and expect you to obey it and then go out and join the Marines? And so, rather ridiculous, but that is the way men are in their thinking. And so, there is that time, once again I say, when we were the builder that refused to accept Christ as the headstone of the corner. But here, it finally happens. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. Now, I keep reminding us that all of these other experiences that David had in these previous verses, these must come to pass. We must experience them in exactly the same way in our lives in order for us to come to this conclusion of finally surrendering the headship of my life unto the Lord. So the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. And that is true. We would have never made this on our own. I believe it's time for me to yield to God. I just believe I have to let Jesus here and there and somewhere and accept his place of headship, authority, and rulership in my life. No, it's the Lord that brings us to that place through various experiences, even those that we've already considered. So this is the Lord's doing. That is, Christ becoming the headstone of the corner. But here it is marvelous in our eyes. And that must become my attitude now. It is a marvelous thing. It's not something that I contend with, that I put up with, or that I allow just because it's there. It is marvelous that it is a marvel that he brought this to pass in my life. And then we read verse 24, this is the day. It's the day that we realize that Christ has become the headstone of the corner. This is the day which the Lord hath made. And then again the finality here, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We'll not resent it. We'll not kick against it. We will not try to go and defy him by going our own way. No, we will rejoice and we will be glad in this day that the Lord has made all of this not only a possibility, but a glorious reality in my life. So this is the day which the Lord hath made. Shall we sing?